WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Actress Jane Alexander has made her mark not as the glamorous leading lady, but as a character actor, convincingly portraying a wide variety of roles. She was first critically acclaimed in the late 60s for her role opposite James Earl Jones in the Broadway production of The Great White Hope. She won a Tony Award for her portrayal of the mistress of a black prizefighter. A wider audience was introduced to Alexander through her portrayal of Eleanor Roosevelt in the made-for-TV movie Eleanor and Franklin. On TV, she also played the unsympathetic concentration camp orchestra conductor in Playing for Time. In the movies, she was Dustin Hoffman's neighbor in Kramer vs. Kramer, the Republican bookkeeper in All the President's Men, and in Testament, she starred as a mother trying to care for her family following a nuclear attack. She just completed a run in a Broadway revival of Tennessee Williams' play Night of the Iguana. And this week, she'll star in the made-for-TV movie Open Admissions on CBS. But Alexander now does a lot of her movie work away from the camera. A few years ago, she formed her own production company.
I started to either imagine stories or hear about stories that were true that I wanted told, and I found nobody who would take them on. So I said, well, this is something that I'm going to try to take on then. So that's how it started. The other thing that happened was, I was in my, starting to be in that middle age for actresses in your 40s, where there aren't really the roles anymore because the leading roles are mostly played by women in their 20s or 30s. And I wasn't quite ready yet for the older leading woman roles. And in fact, I didn't even look it yet. So I found a dearth of good roles, particularly in film. And some in television. And so it left time for me to put some energy in this area of producing.
What's going on here? Why aren't there more good roles for women in their 40s? Does this say something about how American society treats women in their 40s now? Or is it more theatrical than that?
No, I think it has to do, it's a reflection of the culture itself. It's not that women in their 40s aren't terrific and women in their 50s and certainly a lot of attention is being paid to women and men in our society who are getting older because we're becoming more and more populous. But the society thinks that women should remain younger, hence the dedication to cosmetic surgery and all kinds of bodily care that women past a certain age feel they have to devote themselves to. So it is the impetus and is toward being younger.
Are you already thinking when you're in your 50s if you will be expected to get your eyelids tucked or whatever the procedure is?
Well, I've already been asked by a number of people to, why wouldn't I consider doing a little tuck here and a little tuck there? But frankly, Terry, I'm such a scaredy cat when it comes to hospitals and surgery that I'm never going to be a candidate, I'm afraid.
Well, does it go beyond that, too, that you don't want to be part of that trend toward cosmetic surgery?
Well, I'm not, frankly, interested in it. I've never been a person that has been vain in any way. Perhaps I should have devoted more care to that, but I never was, and I was never known as an actress who was going to be considered for the very beautiful roles anyway. So I've always leaned towards the more character roles, and I'm not uncomfortable in them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The role that introduced you to a lot of viewers was your role as Eleanor Roosevelt in the made-for-TV movie Eleanor and Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that, you like Eleanor Roosevelt, you had to look very plain and somewhat awkward, mm-hmm. buck teeth, receding chin. And I was wondering if you felt that gave you the image for a while of being plain, of reading plain on screen.
Well, I was then offered a number of roles of awkward or ugly ducklings who become swan types. Through the next few years, But I was always seeking at that time to change that image because I feel as an actress that I can really play almost anything that the role demands. I mean, I don't mean that as a matter of hubris. I mean it as a craft. Through the years, I've developed my craft. So, in fact, if I had to play somebody who was very beautiful, I feel that I could do that very easily as well.
As a producer now, have you had to learn how to sell yourself and sell your production in a way that's different from the way an actress has to sell herself?
Oh, it's very different. It's a totally different ball game. And in some ways I enjoy that because it is a whole new business that I'm going into, and it is show business, and it is marketing, and it's very, very different from the relatively quiet and reflective life of an actor. When you get into the world of trying to sell a product, and film is a product in the world today, you have to get money for your product in order to make it. You begin to understand when you're on the other side of the fence and you're producing something, what it means to have somebody with a name. And I can look at everything far more objectively now.
I'd like to ask you a few questions about some of your movies.
Mm.
In the movie Testament,
mm-hmm.
you played a mother who is trying to keep her three children alive right after a nuclear bomb has dropped nearby, and bombs have been exploding at least all over the West Coast, and there's even no place to escape to. What effect did it have on you to go to work every day and have to act out the role of someone who is surviving a nuclear war?
Well, it was, as we say, a heavy film to make. But everybody who was making it was there because they wanted to be there. For myself, it was deja vu because I had been suffering from a nightmare years prior to doing the film that involved myself and three of our boys coming out of the woods and discovering people evacuating north, thousands of people. And in the nightmare, which I had about a dozen times, the boys and I ultimately succumbed to radiation poisoning and die. So when I came to do the film, I felt like I had experienced all these emotions before. And in fact, I had in my head, in my nightmare.
When you're acting a role, do you take that role home with you, or does it end when the performance ends for the day?
It never ends when I'm involved in something. I've been trying to work on this because it's a pretty frightful thing to inflict on your family and friends if you're playing a murderess or somebody who has rather evil thoughts. In a miniseries I did called Blood and Orchids, I play a really thoroughly evil woman. And when I made that film, I was particularly nasty to the director, and it's not like me to be that way, but I found myself, you know, calling him a bit of a fool for not dealing with me first rather than the other people in the film and stuff like that, and it really was my character, and this has happened to me over and over again. My husband is always able to point it out to me, and my children too.
So what do? Go around explaining, well, which part is you and which part is your character?
No, because I'm not fully conscious of it. It's just, it's something that people who are close to me can point out. For example, one time in an off-Broadway show, I played a woman who used obscenities a great deal. Well, my language became so vile around the house that even the teenage boys that were in my house had to say, "Wow, Mom, stop that. That's really disgusting."
Well, Jane Alexander, I want to thank you so much for talking
with
us.
Thank you, Terry. It was a pleasure.
Actress Jane Alexander. She stars in the made-for-TV movie Open Admissions this Thursday evening on CBS. This is Fresh Air.